What's going on, everyone? It's been a while since I've been able to upload an interview, but I'm really excited about this one. On this episode of Cinemania, I had the pleasure and honor to interview Kyle Joshua. Now, Kyle Joshua is an artist, you know, formerly from Southern Massachusetts, a suburb outside of Boston named Easton, and then moved to LA to pursue his career as a rapper. Now, Kyle is about to debut his second album, Rebel with a Heart, or Rebel with a Heart. And I also had the privilege and pleasure of working with him and developing and producing, directing his music video, Keep the Faith. He was kind enough to allow me to play a little bit of the song, so you guys will hear it before we go into the interview. But I think him being a musician brings a very unique perspective, and being a creator and just having to follow your gut and really just, you know, regardless of what people say or what people think, just go out and do whatever it is, you know, you love. So enjoy this episode of Cinemania. Give it a 5-star on Apple iTunes. We'll be back next week with another interview. But until then, enjoy the song. This is Keep the Faith. You can find it on Spotify, Apple iTunes, all the major locations, wherever you listen to music, basically. And yeah, go check him out. You can also see the music video on YouTube. If you just type in Keep the Faith or Kyle Joshua on YouTube, you'll find it. And that's a video that I filmed. So enjoy.
Yo,
how you doing, man?
Not much, man. Just trying to keep up with the schedule. Just trying to get things ready for the album and trying to push this last video, Keep the Faith, as hard as I can right now. Super excited.
Man, dude, that's so sick. I've been looking forward to this since we like brought it up. I've never done a podcast with a musician. So to be able to, you know, pick your brain, because a lot of people who may listen to this could be your followers. It could be someone who's an aspiring musician, who's trying to get their name out there or just need that motivation. I think that your story could resonate to a lot of people who are maybe scared to jump and take that leap of faith that you have. And I think just your overall, you know, message just resonates with so many people because it's so positive. And your sound is so unique and special. So, like, first off, I want to say thank you for taking time out of your busy day to be on the show, man. I really appreciate it.
No, man. Thank you. Thank you, bro. It definitely means a lot, man. Yeah, I would definitely love to share whatever I can to whoever's listening to help them on their journey, because, you know, that's literally the only way you can do this stuff is by having the right people around you and by believing in yourself first and foremost. But you really need a solid team that believes in you the way you believe in yourself. But it starts with you believing in you first, and everything goes from there.
Whoa. So like we're this is getting deep. I'm so excited, man. And I think this is a perfect segue into entering the podcast. So, I mean, you know, Kyle, like, I've worked with you and, you know, we worked on Keep the Faith, which was such an amazing opportunity. Keep the Faith is a song that Kyle just dropped. But for the people who are listening, Kyle, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself to Cinemania?
Yeah, definitely. Well, my name's Kyle Joshua and I'm 25. And I come from a small town just south of Boston called Easton, Massachusetts, but we call it Shovel Town.
Why yeah. Shovel Town?
Well, I guess it was the town where the shovel was originally invented from Oliver Ames. I'm just bad at my historical facts, so I don't want to like I don't want to mess up names and dates and stuff. But there's some history to what I'm saying. People can look that up. But everyone around the town, yeah, it's been known as Shovel Town. So that's when you hear me shout it out, that's what I'm talking about, my hometown. And it's like the burbs, man. real quiet place, a lot of trees, a lot of nature out here, which is a blessing when you leave it and you live in a city or a place that doesn't have it for a while, you appreciate it more. But I've really just I've been in music my whole life, but I didn't really start to pursue it the way I am now until I was about 15 or 16. And I wasn't even planning on rapping at first. I just wanted to really get involved in either writing music somehow creatively or playing the drums or saxophone. I was just trying to think of an instrument, and I listened to a lot of reggae music growing up and a lot of hip hop too, but it just so happened to be that I would write a lot of poetry. And when I started to listen to hip hop the way I do now, I realized that that was going to fit my writing style the best. And that's kind of what made me go into hip hop. So I think that's why I have the so-called style that people say I have. But it stems from just me listening to really everything, you know? It's like, yeah, I make hip hop music, but it's not my first choice of genre to listen to, ironically. But
It's interesting because like you grew up in a very suburb area, right? And I'm sure not a lot of people I'm very familiar with Easton, it's kind of, you go to school, you go to college, you go off and you become an accountant. You took a very different route where maybe a lot of your friends were doing something different. How did you manage that when you were just like, I'm very focused, to doing rap. And now you moved out to LA, you're doing your second album now, which is crazy, which is so exciting, What was that like at the very beginning when you were in high school, when you were telling your friends like, "Hey, like I'm gonna start rapping."
Well, I actually didn't even tell anybody I was making music in high school. It was like a tactic that I made in my mind that I was like, okay, I'm gonna start to work on this music myself. And I made like my first mixtape when I was 17, junior year in high school, I think that is. And it's all self mixed and everything. I made it in my room, and I would just literally stay up till like 5 a.m. and then go to school at 6 a.m. and just go to class normally. And I was just doing that to build my fan base online so I can get a real unbiased opinion for my music. Because when people who know you listen to your music, they know you as a person first. And that might interfere with their first, initial listening session of your art. And I was like, all right, if I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna come into it completely. Like, throw myself out there, let people judge me how they want. They don't know anything about me. So I started by kind of doing that, just doing my own thing and not telling people about it. And it got to the point where I realized I needed to take it bigger. And I was still in school. I was in college at this time. I had bounced around to a few different colleges. And one day I literally just woke up and I was like, yeah, man, I gotta go to LA. I've had some people out there. I had visited about like a few different times the year before on some just business and friendship type of deals. But I just love the vibe and the energy out there and the work and some of the people I connected with. And I just woke up one day and I just went to my guidance counselor. I told her I was leaving. I told her I was withdrawing. I withdrew. Told my parents I was leaving. At first, they had no idea what to think, but I was like, hey, I'm telling you guys not for permission. I'm telling you guys to just let you know that this is the path I'm taking.
That's
And
crazy, man.
yeah, man. And I was gone. I was in LA probably 2 weeks after that.
I see that like a lot of people, whether it's music, photography, videography, or just like content creators, especially like in our age, a lot of people are leaving that quote unquote traditional route and really pursuing what they're doing. And one thing that I see is, navigating that conversation. I think it's always hardest with parents because you never want to upset them. But at the same time, you have to have that conversation where it's like, this is what's going to make me happy.
And if you want me to be happy, you're gonna let me go and test this. How did you navigate that conversation with, your parents?
Well, it was kind of like you said, it was, first of all, I really can't, you can never blame the parents because it's just being parents. So if a kid tells you, like, hey, I'm going to California and I'm leaving school to go pursue a music career, 99% of the time they're like, what? That's just like, why don't you try something else? Because they just can't see it the way you do. And that's kind of how I had to explain it. I was like, look, there's nothing I can say that's gonna let you guys see into my vision. All I can ask is that you just support me in whatever way, mentally, and just be there on my side in my corner. So I feel like that they're rooting for me, and that they're not, it's just, I don't want to feel like I made a mistake in the sense that I know I wouldn't, but even if they didn't believe in me, I just kind of wanted that push. And it took a while. Like, at first they definitely weren't about it, but they knew I was going to do it anyway. And then as I started getting closer to it, and then after I did it, they were like, oh, he's doing it. Yeah. And he's going to be fine.
Now, I want to take a step back. So a little bit earlier, you mentioned that, you're putting your music out there and you started making connections. I think right now we live in the best era where there's no middleman for music to be out there, right? Like you can put music out on SoundCloud and, have that one song like go viral and go big. And that's the beauty of the internet now. Where were you putting your music out? How did you make those first few connections?
I was more so kind of trying to make sure I was putting out like one really good solid track like every month or every other month or so, on there for a while. And I was doing that back since, when I was 17, when I made that first mixtape, that was when I first like started uploading my music online. And then ever since then, I put out two mixtapes self-produced by myself, and then another couple different tracks. And then my last album, Gold Auras, was when I was able to release my music onto the international streaming services like Apple Music and iTunes. And I did that through a distribution company called CD Baby. And
So CD Baby is the group that you teamed up with. Are you still working with them? How'd you get in contact with them?
yeah, you can just like, they're basically a service online that will distribute your music to distribute, sorry, your music to any international service that you basically that we're streaming, that anybody's streaming on, even if it's free. And you pay a yearly fee, and then you get all your royalties for it. So
So that makes it a
basically,
lot easier for you.
yeah, and some people argue that the yearly fees, whatever, but it's worth it. It's definitely how, it pays off if you're really working. And you just so they handle distributing the music to Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, Tidal, all that stuff for me. And yeah, they are still doing my stuff right now.
And is there a link for them? So that way I can just put in the show notes.
Yeah, I think it's just cdbaby.com.
CDBaby.com.
Please.
Word.
So if there's an up and coming musician listening to this right now, and they're trying to figure out how to get their stuff on Apple Music and Spotify and Tidal and all those streaming services, CD Baby is a great option, and they definitely make sure you get your money. Yeah, that's that, I promise you that.
Word, word, word. So you leave home, you head out to LA. What was your first couple of days like? Were you scared? You nervous? What was going on in Kyle's brain?
Oh man. My first couple of days I had moved out. So one of my friends from home flew out there for the first like 2 days with me just to kind of like vacation. But he wasn't staying out there. He left after those 2 days. So the first 2 days we were just in the hotel looking for a spot for me. When he left, oh man, it was a struggle for a while. Basically, I was in the hotel for 2-3 days, in and out, looking for places. There was a night where I slept outside on my suitcase.
Wow.
I just had to make it work. You know, I had to be somewhere in the morning. It wasn't worth grabbing a hotel for the night. So these are just the stories people need to hear. It's real stuff. And I was just.
And when you were like sleeping on your suitcase, were you like, shit? Like, or were you like, yo, this is a part of the hustle?
Oh, definitely that. I was like, this is part of the hustle. I was like, I can't just fly out here and come into this place where everybody around the world goes to try to make it and expect for it to just go smoothly for me. I was like, no, you know, things are definitely going to happen. And I was just, I kind of, you know, was anxious or ready for that, because I was like, I want them to happen now so I can get over them and learn and, you know, just start to make my mistakes early so I can figure out my way around.
Damn. So you're sleeping on your suitcase. Then what's next? What happens after? Did you find a place, or were you just like rapping on side of a corner of a street and you're like, I got to figure something out?
No. So, yep. So I ended up finding a place. So my first place, I ended up having, it was a 3-bedroom and we had 6 roommates.
Wow.
Yeah, we had 6 roommates. It was a very, very complicated, messy situation, but it's what needed to happen for me to be there at that time. And I was there for a year living like that. And initially, I wasn't even telling people in LA that I was a rapper or an artist. I was just telling them I was an engineer, and I was just mixing people's music as a freelance engineer. Just local artists around the area. I was in Sherman Oaks at this time. And there were people around there. There were singers. There were a couple of rappers that I worked with. Shout out to Dre God. That's one of them. That's my homie. But it's just a few people that I worked with out there that kind of helped me put some money in my pocket that way. And, you know, just the hustle. First and foremost, trying to get my name out there. And then once I started making connections with engineering for people and mixing their tracks, I started introducing the fact that I was an artist as well, and I already had those connections. So I had people around that were willing to listen to my work, because they're like, oh yeah, bro, you work with him, let me hear you. And, you know, most they liked it, and people were like, yo, bro, you need to put out an album. You need to work on yourself more. You need to work on your solo stuff. And that was kind of the transition into my second year out there. That was when I turned all the focus onto myself as just the artist and started grinding out 24-hour studio sessions in the Studio City, at this place called Studio City Sound. And that's where I've recorded all my work in LA to date, actually, with my man Jeff. That's my guy.
Mm. So I've never been in a booth, right? I have no idea the energy or the vibe of when get up in there. I've seen like videos and stuff like that. I've seen your video 4 a.m., like when you're in the booth. Can you explain to me like what kind of energy is it like in there? Like what kind of vibe do you get? What's your like mentality when you're in there? Is it like this, like, yo, I'm about to go hard? Or is it like a very, what's going on in your brain when you're in the studio?
I'm definitely really chill. It's like my sessions are really, really mellow. Like we burn incense, we roll up a lot of joints, we usually listen to like some, I don't know, whatever is hot at the moment record first. Like we'll just kind of sit down for like a half an hour and just vibe out, because you can't just rush into it, you know, just vibe out, smoke, just get the mood right. And then from there, we just do our thing. And, you know, I'm usually pretty a laid back person. That's just my personality. But when I'm actually in the booth, that's different. That's like when I don't even see anybody else in the room. I just black out. And that's why.
Do you have to like tap into like a different mental state? Like when you're like focused, when you're like writing music, is it like, you know, there's Kyle, but like when Kyle's in the booth, it's kind of like just a different mentality?
Oh yeah, totally different. I usually tell people, like, if they want to come to my session, they have to know at some point I'm going to turn into that that person. When I'm that person, it's like I don't want to see anybody else in the room. I just don't want to. I'm not going to acknowledge you. I just have tunnel vision. I'm just working on the record, and that's it. Word. In my mind. And those people, you know, they respect that. They just sit back, smoke, do their thing, watch.
And you're working, like you're in there working hard, man. And so,
thanks.
Gold Auras came out in 2016, which has been an amazing album. What was the thought process behind that album, like? Or just let's start with like just a song. Like when you record a song, is it different for each one, or do you usually just like have an idea with the lyrics first and then the beat?
Yeah, it's usually different for each song, but a lot of my records are made for me just walking. I like to walk a lot. I like to walk a lot and listen to music, and kind of just, that's like my me time. And when I do that, I find that I clear my mind and then lyrics start coming in. Or I'll hear a beat and then the lyrics will start coming in, but it's usually the lyrics first. And I just start writing something in my head, or start writing the hook and the melody as I'm walking in my head or on my phone. And then I go home and I either find a beat or make a beat with someone and just bring it to life right then and there.
And Gold Auras is your first full-length album, right? Were there any mixtapes before that?
Yeah, I released two mixtapes under a different name. It was, my name back in the day was Kadita Otaku. It's a long name. But it's a long story. I was like 17 and 19 when I put out both of those mixtapes. But those were both full-length, like 20 tracks each, I think. And they were all self-engineered, self-mixed and everything by myself. And then I kind of stepped away from that for a little while and started to focus on the engineering. And then when I came back into the music, I dropped that stage name and just started to go as my first and middle name, Kyle Joshua.
So what was the, why Gold Auras? Why that name?
Oh, that's, there's, I don't know, there's a lot of different reasons behind that name looking back into it, but I guess the best answer I can say is, if people have ever looked into deep spirituality and reading people's auras and energy and things like that, it's, they'll see what I mean when I'm saying the gold auras. But if the in the spirituality world, somebody with a gold aura or like a yellowish aura is someone with basically good intentions or good vibes. Like they have a pure heart. Like they're okay, you know, in a way. Like you can trust them, you can be around them. And they're just,
that's so interesting. How'd you like get into that, like spirituality? And you know, was it something like through your family, or just kind of like you were going through something and you picked it up? Like, not a lot of people talk about that. That's really deep. When I thought Gold Auras, I was just like, I had no idea what to think.
Oh, yeah. I went through a lot of things, I guess, that made me start to research spirituality early on in my life. Like, I lost my brother when I was 18, my older brother when I was 18. And some friends throughout my life and things, you know, throughout just the different circumstances. But, and those were before I turned, you know, before my brother. So I lost some friends at like a really young age, and then my brother. So I kind of just like used all that, you know, what could have been negative energy or negative emotions and stuff. And I kind of just turned it into trying to understand more of what happens after this world. And that's like, I did that at like an early age because, you know, I was just losing people. So I was curious. And I'm also an artist. So that's just part of the, like the creative mindset in me, wanted to just like figure things out and explore different, you know, things that aren't taught in our everyday routine. And from there, I've always had a desire to learn and grow and just achieve knowledge. And the spirituality part, yeah, that was that gold aura is that kind of that was like my thing for people who are, you know, if they are spiritual, they'll like be like, oh, I see you, I know what he's talking about. And if they're not, they'll like do their research and then they'll find out, which is also what I wanted to happen. So either way, I was like, yeah, like this has to be it.
Well, first off, thank you for sharing that. Like, I'm sure your brother is incredibly proud of you because you're doing such amazing work, and it's positive too. I'm so happy that I was a part of Keep the Faith.
Oh yeah, man. Thanks.
That song to me, like I listen to it when I'm like driving, working out. It's really for any mood. If you guys haven't, please listen to the song Keep the Faith. It's just about, you know, even when things get tough, you know, you just gotta stay true and think positively. And it just makes more sense now understanding the meaning of gold auras and keeping the faith and just being surrounded by positivity, period. It all makes more sense to me now that I know you, but just the whole, your sound, it makes more sense to me now.
Well, that's awesome to hear, man. I appreciate it. Definitely, bro.
Now, you're doing well. You're coming up with your second album. Talk to us a little bit about your next album and, you know, your mindset behind that.
Yeah, so this next album is called Rebel with a Heart, or Rebel with a Heart, however you like to say it. It's two meanings. And the title, I guess it's kind of self-explanatory, but the thought process behind the writing of this entire album was kind of more so like, I want people to stick up for themselves and be 100% them, transparent in who they are, no matter who it's in front of or what, and just be unapologetically themselves. But remember at the same time to just have love for others, because, you know, there are other people who are going through situations just like them who may not be as far progressed as they are, or they may be further progressed, which is when people start to get jealous. But when they understand that, if they just stand up to whatever problems they're facing, like rebel against those problems, and always remember to have that heart, don't let the world just tear that away from you. Because nowadays we hear that too much, you know, like the whole heartless movement, cut people off, savage, no feelings, all that stuff. Like, no, that's not realistic, because humans have emotions. So it's like, no, you definitely have to rebel. Definitely have to stand up for yourself, and you definitely have to be a soldier in this world, but remember to do it with the heart. And that was the entire thought process behind this album.
Huh. And it kind of coincides with Gold Auras, that same message of Gold Auras being like having good intentions, being a good person, and now Rebel with a Heart, or Rebel with a Heart. It's like, stick up for yourself, be yourself, and exactly, be a good person. And I think this is actually a really good transition, because I'd love to hear from your perspective. It's like, at first, I'm sure, like when you started dropping music, it was difficult at first, and you probably had a lot of naysayers, and now you're dropping your second album. Like, have you had to deal with trolls or haters, and how did you deal with them, or how do you deal with them?
I would honestly say I haven't really dealt with many trolls. I mean, I think haters is that's something that everyone's going to deal with. But what I've learned over time is that's love. Like, that's like, if you really hate somebody, you don't give them any time or attention. You don't give them anything, you know, like you just, if you hate them, they're erased from your mind and your life. And that's it. Like, if you hate someone, but you're constantly checking their page, and you know everything they're doing, and you know when they dropped the song, and you know that's love, man. They just don't know. They're just confused. And it's like, knowing what I've went through and what I've gone through, how I persevered, just, you know, real life situations, I'm not worried about the opinion of somebody who doesn't know me, like who's never been in my life. It doesn't matter.
And now, now on the flip side of that, like, what do you think has been your biggest, like, key to success? Like, if you were to say, like, you know, one thing that has really attributed to, you know, everything being positive, everything working out well, or just working out the way it has, like, what do you think has been one of the key ingredients?
Consistency. That's, that's, and obviously keeping the faith, no pun intended, but I think consistency, especially in this music game, people don't understand how important that is. Even if you're just dropping one song, like I said, every month, just showing people that this is what you do, because that's like, you are really this person, and you're not just, you know, you don't just wake up in the morning and feel like being this artist one day, or you don't wake up and feel like putting the energy in these few months and then kind of shying away. Like, no, you are that person. You are this person. You are that person. The artist comes second. You are literally that person. I think that's how you do it. That's how you get them.
Who do you look up to, like, right now that's doing that? Who's consistent, that you're like, that person is on their game? Like, who are you looking up to right now?
Well, one artist who I've followed for, like, the past 5-6 years, whose consistency is amazing, is Currency. And he's not even a huge artist, per se, I guess, you know, on a major label scale. All the hip-hop heads know him. But the way that dude has marketed his music and stayed in people's conversations is phenomenal. And some of the major label people right now I see doing that are Russ. Russ is doing that. He has a great team behind him. I think he has a great marketing team as far as consistency goes. I see Dave East has a great marketing team as far as consistency goes. Some of the Boston artists, Cousin Stiz, Millie's especially, I've seen he's constantly dropping freestyles, constantly dropping a single, constantly dropping something. Even if it has nothing to do with his project, he's just putting content out for people to see him and to remember that he's doing this and this is what he does and he's good at it. You know, and when you do that constantly over time, it's impossible to ignore it. At some point, you have to be like, yo, somebody notice this guy. It's like, somebody pay attention to this guy.
And it's so true, though. Like, if there's one thing that I've learned, like, if you're great, nobody can deny that from you. You know, a lot of people I see are looking for approval or acceptance of others on the internet, but you don't need somebody to tell you that you're great. It's just something that you know you are. And if you're consistent and consistently putting music out there, it's just bound to happen. It's just a matter of time.
Absolutely. And that's the mindset right there. Once you know you got it, like I said, in Keep the Faith, when you know you got it, you don't hear from no one else, because that's it. If you know you have it, then who can say anything else to you? They're not inside of your mind. They don't control your body. If you let them influence that, that's you literally allowing them to.
No, definitely. And when we did Keep the Faith, I was really fortunate to meet some of your friends, and they are hilarious, and they are just damn right good people. Like it, when I met them and I met you, I was like, I fuck with these people. Like, these guys are like, they're a strong team together. Can you talk to me about maybe your crew, what your team looks like? Because you talked a little bit about, like, Russ having, like, a good team behind him. Like, give maybe shout-outs to your team, or tell me a little bit about your crew, like, your day ones.
Yeah, those are definitely my day ones right there. I wouldn't be who I am without those guys, honestly. One of them is my cousin, and the other two are literally my homies from, you know, as far as I can remember. And just what they provide for me is like those great conversations that help me remember who I am and what I'm doing this for and why I started and why I'll continue to do it. And they've known me before all the bad stuff happened to me, you know, per se, in my life. So they know, they know me, I guess I call it the innocent years. So like they've seen everything. So to have them just in that video, and especially with the message it was, it was such a great experience just to see them all there and enjoying themselves, because I think, you know, deep down, they all know how hard and how long this fight was just to get here where I'm at. And I have, you know, light years to go. I'm nowhere near done. I have so much music in me, but it did take a long time just to get here and to start to get recognition. And I just don't want people to get discouraged if they're not at this point yet, because I wasn't at this point yet at one point too.
if you were to talk to Kyle, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, what would you want to say to Kyle back then, or maybe someone who's 17, 18 years old who was maybe in your shoes? What advice would you give someone?
Back then, I would tell them to keep working on your craft and stay away from the party life. That's what I did to get here. Basically, I would tell them to keep doing it. I wouldn't really change anything, honestly. Back then, when I was 17, 18, it was so rare for people to see me outside, like, people at high school parties or gatherings or whatever. When they saw me, they're like, "Whoa, you came here?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And it was just because I literally would leave school and go work on my craft. I would go to school, come home, go work on my craft. If I had sports, I'd go to sports, come home, work on my craft. It was literally, I would not go a day without doing something with my music because I knew that there was somebody else out there. If I took one day off, there's somebody still working that day. And it's that simple. It's just, I would tell myself, "Hey, don't get sidetracked. Keep doing what you did. Don't do all that stuff. There's always a time to party. There's always going to be a time to get together with your people, always. But if you work on your craft and yourself early on, in your art early on, the best you can and the most you can, you're only going to get to that point sooner."
There's a saying that Gary Vaynerchuk, I'm not sure if you listen to him, he says, but it's nobody wants to run the marathon. Everybody wants to be at the finish line.
Oh, I like
Like
that.
nobody wants to do what you did, where it was like every single day, I'm gonna go home after school, work on my music. I'm gonna wake up or stay up all night and wake up, work on my music. I'm gonna move to LA. I'm gonna sleep in hotels, then sleep outside for a night. But I'm gonna do it because this is what it takes. And you're an amazing example of that, of consistency for the last 7 years. And like you said, you've come so far and you have so much more to go, which is super exciting for me because I feel like I know you so well and I just like met you a couple of weeks ago, but I'm so excited to see what you have in store because you have such a positive message. You're such a positive guy and you have something unique and something a message to be shared with people. So that
Right, man.
it's so exciting. What does like 2018 look like for you?
2018 is going to be music, a whole lot of music. It's 2017 was my quiet year because I was prepping. 2018, this Rebel with a Heart is coming very soon, very, very soon. I'm going to be announcing the release date probably within this week or so. I also have a EP and a mixtape that I'm working on with people for this summer. So it's a lot of Kyle Joshua this summer.
Wow.
And some more
So,
videos with you, hopefully.
hell yeah, man. One question that I actually had and I wanted your thoughts on is like, what are your, I see that you've done a lot of music. Do you do anything with collabs? What are your thoughts about collaborations? Can we expect some collabs?
Yeah, I'm not against collabs at all. I have one with Mick Jenkins that we uploaded earlier, I think last year. And on Rebel with the Heart, I have one collab with this girl, Nerlene Jean. She's an amazing singer from Los Angeles, and she was actually on Gold Auras. She sang the background vocals for my track Gold All Around Me. But this time she has an official feature on, I think, the intro for my album on this one. And that's the only feature I put on this, just because I really kind of wanted to. I didn't feel like I got a chance to broadcast my capabilities 100% yet on Gold Auras. So before I started introducing new people, I kind of wanted to give people a little bit more of just me. But collabs are definitely in the future.
How about are you doing any shows? And if you are, where are you going to do some shows this year?
I'm hopefully trying to do them all around. I know I definitely am going to be doing some in Massachusetts, and some in LA. And when I get those dates, I'll let you know immediately so I can come through with, whatever one you can make it to, and so people can know.
Absolutely, man. I'm so excited, man. And you're heading back to LA soon. What are you gonna, when you go to LA, do you do music out there, or do you do music over here, or do you just make music anywhere?
I make music anywhere. Yeah, when I'm here, I usually record myself, first of all, with all my tracks. Most of my tracks, I start off, I start them off, record them myself, like in my bedroom if I have to. And just from there, I'll take it either to my studio and do a little rough mix and then bring it to LA, or go to LA if I'm not already there, and then work with my other guy out there. If it's like a decently big track, if I can handle it myself, I'll just mix it and master it and release it myself. There are a few tracks I do that for, but when I'm working on some big stuff, like the stuff that's coming right now after Rebel with the Heart, I have a lot, like I said, a lot of music coming this summer and this year. That's what I'm going back to handle right now. And we just have a few more things to get ready before the Rebel with the Heart comes out. And want to make sure everybody's excited for that and they know it's coming.
I'm excited, man. I'm so excited for Rebel with a Heart. Now, I have one last question that I like to ask all my guests on my show.
Yeah, man.
Kyle, if you had one superpower, what would it be and why?
All right, teleportation.
Teleportation.
Yes. I like originally I was gonna say flying back in the day. As a kid, I would love to fly. But teleporting, like I can be anywhere at any time. Like that's the coolest thing ever. I can literally be like, oh, I'll be right back. I can teleport to like Hawaii, grab the freshest like coconut ever, teleport back to my place and just like crack it open all in a matter of like 30 seconds. And that's like otherworldly powers right there. Flying's like, oh, cool. Like birds do that all day. Like, cool, you're a bird now. But like, teleporting, it's like, bro, you are some otherworldly being.
So your first place you would teleport to is Hawaii to get a coconut.
Yeah, or I would go to Jamaica and get a mango. One or the
I would
other.
want to go to like Mount Kilimanjaro, take an epic selfie, and then teleport back and then be in my pajamas.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome.
And then you can
Oh,
get a
yeah.
mango after that.
I would just mess with
Fuego.
people. I would like teleport to like the top of a building in Dubai with the joint, put it on Snap, and then teleport back home. Like, bro, I just saw you right there. I'm like, no, you didn't. What are you talking about?
Oh my gosh. Well, Kyle, dude, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you?
Yeah, man, thank you for having me on here. And my Twitter and Instagram, my handle's the same. It's Kyle H. Joshua. That one has an H in between. Sometimes people miss that. It's hard to see. And my website is just kylejoshua.com. And you can find everything else on there. All my music, all my videos, my links, updates, everything will be posted on there.
Word, man. Well, thank you again so much. Thank you for tuning in to Cinemania. Thank you guys so much. Make sure to give the iTunes or give this podcast a 5-star on Apple iTunes. We'll be back next week with another episode. Kyle Joshua on the show. Make sure you go check out his music, check out his website and his IG. We're out.
Only be around people who can see their higher self, because they gotta keep the faith when the faith seems lost. Oh, gotta keep the faith when the faith seems lost. Oh, gotta keep the faith when the faith seems lost. Oh.